Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Hello and welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
And this is Ellis.
And we're back for another episode of our lively conversation about love, life, and relationships. How you been doing, Ellis?
Hey, I've been doing phenomenal, fantabulous, my good sister. How are you doing?
I am doing all right. Hey. Listen to you, all them big fancy words.
Big fancy words. You know what I'm saying? I look Don King. Look Don King. Got this little king in me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, I'm ready. So thank you all for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for liking us. We got our October numbers recently, and they were great. And that's all because of you. So we thank you, whatever platform you're listening to us on, Black Talk, Blog Talk, Apple, wherever you're listening, we're grateful for you, and keep listening and keep sharing.
Keep listening.
So today we're going to talk about fake love. And so what is fake love? Love that ain't real? I mean, what is fake love?
Well, I think you need to give them context of how this came to be.
Okay, so if you are listening on a platform that you can pause this, I'm going to invite you to go to our Facebook page. We put a clip out there with James Baldwin and Nikki Giovanni, and they were having a conversation about fake love and lie to me, basically. And the context is he was sharing with her that, you know, if he loves you, he can't lie to you. And she says, sure you can. And basically, she said, if you love me, you will lie to me. And what she meant, in her context, and women, we're gonna get this, right? In her context, she was saying, like, the Black man is out here fighting the world. And then, you know, but a lot of times when you work for another person, a non-person of color, a white person, you smile in his face, but really that's who you're mad at. But when you come home, you don't smile in your woman's face. You are angry and you show her your true expression. So she gets to be your dumping ground, for lack of a better term. And so what she's saying is lie to me too. Tell me that it's okay. You know, rub my back and take care of me like you take care of the man. So, fake love. All right?
Well, that's not necessarily my interpretation of that.
What was your wrong interpretation?
These are my wrong interpretation. I mean, you hear the wrong interpretation. I think she was really speaking to, let me say this. I respect what you just shared. I think it's accurate. But what I saw, she was really asking for him to love her the way that he loves everything else. And whether it's your job or whomever else, she was asking him, you know, or she was asking of the Black man to treat me the way you treat everybody else. You know, show some excitement for our relationship. Show some excitement for me as a woman. And as you indicated, not just dump on me or you utilize me as a playground when you come home, but, you know, spice it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Show some excitement. Make things interesting. Bring some excitement and joy home. That was my interpretation.
Well, we're humans, and I know that it's very hard sometimes to detach what's going on in one environment to detach from that when you come into another environment.
Right.
But this is like a perfect example of when it's time to leave the world outside of your door. Mm-hmm. You know, that has to stay out there, and all too often we're not able to do that. And that takes an effort. It takes some energy, but that's where the real love is, because it's no doubt that this man that, or I'm not gonna say it's no doubt, but it's very likely that this man who does these things to the woman, or I'll just say vice versa, you know, that they don't love them. It's just you're not showing them in that moment.
Well, I'll say this. I think as a man, as a Black man, there have been times when I have brought the world home. I had a friend tell me this, former friend, 20 some years ago. And he said, before he got home, he oftentimes would drive around and pray to just release his anxiety, his frustration, so he wouldn't bring it into the house to his family. And I never heard that before. I didn't know what he meant. So he kind of gave me some examples of how to go about doing that. And in the course of being married, I don't think I did that at all, because I just automatically forgot. But I think oftentimes we don't consider that not only is a Black man bringing frustrations home, when you have the woman, you know, or I won't say Black man, you hear other listeners. If a man's bringing frustration home, a woman has frustrations as well. So it's like, how do you create a loving atmosphere where not only that you can survive as a couple, but also so your children can see your couple, you know, take on the world and establish boundaries, but, you know, certain aspects of the world is not allowed into our home. Mm-hmm. And what I saw, and he said to her, James Baldwin said to her, if I love you, I can't lie to you. And her response was, I couldn't believe it. She said, oh, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Like, mm-hmm. You've been lying to me.
And you know, there's like memes that go around on social media. And the one question that has been asked, and we may have talked about it on one of our previous podcasts, is which one do you lie? You got two women. Who do you love the most? The one that you lie to or the one that you tell the truth to? And that one, you know, I changed my answers. You know, it depends on the mood I'm in at the moment when I respond to that. But the one that you lie to, you protecting her.
Well, you know, protecting her. In the mortal world of Jack Nicholson in the movie with Tom Cruise, that you can't handle the truth. You know, and the old folks say, if you lie to one person, you lie to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So I think as pertains to love, it has to be some point. I remember a friend of mine had shared with me, you know, him and his wife had an agreement. We have 30 minutes to talk about our day. Then after that, we're going to leave the day at the door. And so they wouldn't even enter the kitchen. They wouldn't even enter into the dining room. They would have a place before they even enter into the home. They would just talk about things. So they wouldn't bring that energy into the door, into the house. Now, I don't know if you can't establish your own relaxation in your home and you still frustrated, where are you going to take it to? So are you going to take it to out with the boys? I mean, some people got to go somewhere to release their stress.
You better take it to the Lord.
Take it to the Lord. You know, you can go to the gym. But what this really speaks about is how we manage our stress and our anxiety and not allowing that stress and anxiety or frustration to impact our relationships, our family, our children, our loved ones, so on and so forth.
And I think there's a difference between, you can bring it into your relationship, but it cannot be the regular, it can't be the status quo of right. Your relationship. You can't do this all the time.
Right.
Because your relationship can't grow under that much weight all the time. So I think you can bring it, like what you said, your cousin and his wife, what they do. I think that's a good idea. I don't know if I want to hear that every day. That's okay. I don't want to hear that every day. But I think it is important to, you know, allow your spouse, you know, or your partner, whoever, time to be able to talk about some of the things sometimes. But it takes great discipline to be able to release and separate. It's like, I'm going to go back to this tomorrow.
But I also want to say this. We're talking about an era in which they were having this conversation was out of the civil rights movement back in the 60s, early 70s. Versus the era now. And I don't know if they're the same stresses are still there, whether environmental, you know, economic stress. I know they're still there, but is the climate that toxic where men and women are coming home angry because something took place at work?
Yeah, I think the environment is just that toxic.
Wow, okay.
You know, to this, in today. Yeah. You know, like, I think about a lot of, you know, what we're dealing with, 2020. You know, we're in a pandemic. That's one heavyweight. You know, we were in a situation, you know, for years. A lot of what has gone on in the 60s hasn't, it still goes on. It may not be every day,
right?
You know, but it goes on. You know, people are getting hurt in the streets. Me as a mother, you know, I'm stressed. Like when my kids walk out the door, you know, I can't lock them in here because they're young adults. But God knows I want to,
right?
You know, sometimes. So yeah, the thing, a lot of the stress that from that era is still here.
Yes, I don't have those kind of stressors. I think that just my own experience as a man, one is that me going to the gym does wonders for me. Two, I'm no longer married. Three, I'm more in control with my environment and my psyche, my state of mind. So I just don't kind of take on the things mm-hmm. I can't control. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with someone yesterday. something happened back home. His daughter goes to a college back in Lexington, and she's delivering things out in the county. And you know, she's afraid. She's afraid because you know that I guess the environment in Lexington is so it's just filled with hatred and chaos right now.
Okay.
And he was talking about how stressed out and worried he was. And I understood what he was saying from a parent, but like, what can I do about it other than pray and tell her to be careful, tell my son to be careful, or, you know, bring the child back home. But I just think somewhere we gotta find a way to eliminate that stress. Cause that's where it's going to kill us health-wise, you know, whether yeah. in terms of, you know, mentally, emotionally, and physically, that's where all of our illnesses come from.
It is. So, you just said you're not married, neither am I. But, you know, we date. Not each other, but we date. And so I think we have to even look at that. I know I do in the people that I choose to date. You know, I kind of manage where my stress levels are. Like, if I won't date a person with young kids, because I feel like that's going to bring a different set of problems.
Right.
That I don't want. So I think, you know, even when we're dating, we kind of look at what's this weight that this person is carrying? And, you know, do I even want any part of that?
And also, you know, that you said that those we choose to date, can they really handle or contain us? And I think oftentimes we find ourselves in relationships with individuals that can contain our energy, our spirits, our thought, and our being. And that also lends to the stress in a relationship. And going back to a part of the conversation that Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin had, what she was saying to him is that, you know, come into the house and lie to me. And he was like, you know, if I love you, I can't lie to you. And I think I just said that. She said, well, yes, you can. But what I was thinking is, do you want to be in a relationship with somebody who is going to lie to you and not share with you their feelings, their emotions, how they really think about life, and how do they think about their day?
But do I have to have all of your feelings or your emotions for us to be in a loving relationship? I don't need all of your shit. I'll give you an example.
Well, you may not need it, but a lot of women do need it and want it.
Yeah, but they say they do. But well, they really don't. I mean, this is a simple example I'm about to give you, right? I told a brother my feet hurt. He said, oh, my back hurt. I don't care about your back right now. My feet hurt. You know? And so,
you one upper.
It's like, yo, I'm about to kick you in your back with my sore foot. You know, but sometimes, you know, we got our stuff and we don't want your stuff then. So we want it. We want to know what's wrong with you. But there's a time and place, as the old people say, there's a time and place for everything.
So I disagree right now, with that. I think women want to know. I think women want to know.
Let me raise my hand for all the women. We don't want to know mm-hmm. everything.
No, you're the only one who don't want to know.
Women, but it's y'all about
99% of these women want to know, because women got a need to know. They want to know how your day is going on. They're trying to see what's going on so they can figure out, how can I get you to do something I want you to do? That's why they want
to
know.
When you got time to go run this
right,
down for me.
Right. That's why I want how your day was, what you're doing, how you feeling.
Let me give you,
you know.
And
by the way, can you stop by the store and give me some peanuts and, you know.
Women, I'm about to tell you. I'm about to tell
I'm just saying, come with it.
We ask the question, Ellis.
Right.
Sometimes we won't even hear your answer. Mm-mm. It's almost programmed. It's kind of like that.
Don't say sometimes. Let's just go and say, we don't hear your answer. It's a setup. It's called emotional manipulation.
We don't
want to
know.
No, we don't
want to
know.
Some things are like programmed. Like, I'm very careful. Do you know how sometimes you walk by people like, hey, how you doing? That's almost programmed. I am very careful not to ask that how you doing question to everybody.
Yeah, I'm not like that. Because
for real, if I don't want to know, I don't want to even fake it with you. And these are people that I don't know, I don't care about. But the person that I love, I'm supposed to come up. Baby, how was your day? See, how are you?
It is hard for me to fake it. Now, if I don't like you, I'm not going to speak to you anyway. Right? But if I like you and I'm cordial, I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? But I think, well, this is just some of my experiences. You know, oftentimes women want to know everything because then they will mind you. Well, last week you said you was out with man and them, and now this week you said, you know, so I could be wrong, and I'm kind of joking on that. But going back to our topic, all I want to say is, do you really want somebody to lie to you?
Yes.
Okay, then. So when men start lying to you, sisters, don't say nothing.
Start. What?
I'm just saying.
Start.
I'm just saying.
I ain't convinced Adam ain't eat that apple. I think y'all been lying since the beginning.
Man, y'all, the women are the creator of the lies.
Man, Adam ate the damn apple.
Come on, man.
He wrote it.
It was a transgender dude who wrote the Bible, who was a woman dressed as a man. That's who wrote the Bible. No,
Adam came back like, man, you got to get rid of that. Man, you know,
man,
you got to put it on her.
You know, a man can't remember all that. You know, a woman did all that. You know, it was all women's doing.
I made all that up.
You know, a woman did all of that right there. And not just a woman, it was a black woman. To be particular, it was a black woman who did that.
But see, the thing is, we all want to feel good. We want to be gratified in our spirit, you know. So that feel good is oftentimes not the truth. So we say, you know, I want to ask you, so I'm with you. I want to say, Ellis, did you spend the night with Pam? I'm just making up. If you're Pam out there, I'm just tripping. I'm just a
no, I had no Pam.
Right. So did you spend the night with Pam? You know, yeah, I want you to tell me.
First of all, y'all know anyway before you ask the question. I know.
We just wanted to see what you're
going right. That's why I said it's the lie and the manipulation because, listen, brothers, I don't know how many brothers listen to the show. If a woman asks a question of you, she already knows. She looked in your phone. She didn't talk to Verizon. She on phone with Sprint. She got AT. She already knows. So just lie.
I don't even know why they charge.
It won't me.
Why they hire men to run like the FBI and CIA? It's just stupid. We got this. We've been doing this for years.
Forever.
Yeah, we know.
Forever. Yeah. But you know, a question. So you asked me a question. Do you want me to lie? Oh, yeah, I slept with Pam. And this is the most stupidest question in the world. So why you sleep with Pam? Because. That's why.
That's the reason.
So you love Pam now? So you in love with Pam now?
I don't love Pam.
I mean, it's one question never stops. It's going to be 20 questions. I just have one question with you. Why you sleep with her? Because I wanted to.
So.
What you mean you wanted to?
All right. So I know I might be a different woman. Now, I've been there. I've been that woman.
Right.
You know, a long time ago. I'm a 20. But that's exhausting. That caused me to have an ulcer.
Right.
And premature birth. Right. So. Then the question had to become, I've internalized the question myself. If he did, what am I going to do about it? If I ain't going to do nothing about it, I don't need your answer.
Well, if there's another situation we're familiar with, Al Green. I think he was called Hot Grits Green for a reason. I think he was called, she threw hot grits on him.
She an amateur.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, she's an amateur. Do you not know how hot grits are?
Do you know how much hotter boil water with grease is?
Wow, that is psycho.
She's an amateur.
That's psycho right there.
Ladies, call me. I got 101 ways to hurt your man and he ain't dead yet.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the name of my book.
I don't want to be a part of anything premeditated, you know what I'm saying?
He ain't dead. That's 101 ways to hurt your man and
he
ain't dead yet.
She said a hot water with grease. Well, first of all, is it just straight up? Kitchen grease, you know, the stuff your mama should put into the can.
Once you boil that hot water and you pour some oil in there, what's going to happen? That oil's going to stick.
Is it pork grease or just regular?
It don't Crisco. Matter. You can do some Crisco, but do something cheap. Ain't no need wasting no expensive grease. Don't waste no olive oil.
I'm asking her these questions. I want y'all to hear the methodical, premeditated way that she this is why I'm asking the question, because I know she's already thought about this, or more than likely have done it more, once or twice. So
it's time to take a break, because I'm getting pissed off. I'm about to go boil some water. So we're going to be right back with Allison Benitez.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
And we're back with Love Wins with Allison Benitez, and we're talking about fake love. I forget.
Fake love.
All right. So the segment that we were referencing is a conversation that took place in November of 1971 with Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin. And it's almost a 2-hour conversation if you want to go back and listen. It's really good information. But when you YouTube it, there are snippets. So you can kind of find this snippet if you don't find it on our page. But we definitely will post the snippet that where we're relating our conversation from on our Facebook page at Love Wins with Allison Benitez.
So as I was listening to her during this segment, I just sensed, and I could be wrong, that she was disappointed in James, not only because James had left the country, was living abroad, I think in France at the time, but also it was a disdain because she wanted the black man to protect her from the world versus not bringing the world into the house that's endangering her and their livelihood and their space. And I think oftentimes as men, we have to do a much better job of protecting our families, protecting our homes from the world, and find a way, a healthy way, to release whatever stuff we have on us. So then when we get home, we can be better fathers and husbands or whatever else. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I saw her facial expression, I began to think like, wow, somewhere in her path, she has felt unprotected. And I know I've heard, you know, when black women say oftentimes, you know, black women are not protected. We're the most unprotected species in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some legitimacy to that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I can understand that. I mean, at the time of this conversation, this lady was late 20s. Mm-hmm. So she had seen an awful lot, you know, growing up through the 50s and the 60s when, you know, it was hot. You know, it was hot out in these streets.
Yes, it was.
You know, so she's seen a lot. And so I could understand her being safe. And so are we saying that when the man brings these things into the home, he's bringing fear, and he's making her less confident in him. And so in some ways, when she's fearful of what he's bringing in, because he's not protecting mm-hmm. anymore, he's bringing it in, she's also afraid of him. Does that lead to our breakup rate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I saw the stage play by Augustus Wilson called entitled Fences, mm-hmm. and Denzel played that part. It's almost the exact same thing. He thinks because he's bringing the check home, then that's enough. Mm-hmm. When all actuality, he has a woman here. He's out drinking and partying, but he's not bringing the most crucial aspect of himself, which is his love. Mm-hmm. And so when his son was like, you know, you're angry with me, he's like, well, what I got to tell you I love you for? You know, I didn't gave you this. I didn't gave you that.
Yeah.
But I think as a man, we have to give our families more than just money and our presence, but we really have to give them attention, our time, and our understanding.
When we talk about, you know, going back again, you know, we've talked often about love languages. You know, we can, you know, his love language was the gift. He right. gives. But if that's not what those people needed to receive, they that means nothing.
No, because if we think about it, so often the man was bringing home money, but he also had two or three other families across town, you know, that he was also giving pieces of himself to.
Yeah. This is when we need a 23andMe commercial. All y'all need to go get tested.
Right, right. We could be related somewhere along the way.
You got some brothers and sisters.
I know in my hometown of Lexington, and me and my cousin talked about this some time ago. There were prominent couples that were having affairs with their friends and neighbors, husbands and wives. And if we as the children knew, you knew the other people had to know. But yeah. it was known behavior, and no one said anything. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to church together. We're all in there. They're teaching. They're doing all this stuff. And they are, operating as if it's functional, but they got a little, they're sleeping with, the person next door and the person down the street. And it was acceptable. No one said anything.
So that was kind of like the question I said. If you ask yourself, what am I going to do about it? You know what you're going to do about it. So if you're not going to do anything about it, what you going to bring it up for? Are you going to leave, mister?
Mister, you're going to do right by me.
If you're going to stay here, in this, your new normal or your abnormal, all right, what you going to question it for?
Yeah, I mean, I think goes back to that. That brings a lot of issues in the family, and I think when it rolls over from generation to generation, you can look at the unfaithfulness. I don't know. It's just unfortunate. It's just really unfortunate that we still are having the same issue in relationships. That's all mean. Last night it says, me sharing how I feel should not lead to an argument. Me saying to you, I want you home at a certain time should not be an argument. Me saying that, hey, I don't like how you talk to me, should not lead to an argument. There should be a meeting of the minds in which I'm able to express how I feel and not be minimized or discredited because I have a feeling, whether it's accurate or not. We should actually be able to express that and be heard. Because if I can't be heard, then we really can't have a relationship.
Yeah, that's true. At the same time, we all want to be heard, but we also have to know that not everybody at every time want to listen, So we have to be mind. Just because you want to run your mouth don't mean anybody trying to hear that all the time.
Right. And I think listening is a skill that hasn't been taught. I was in a store with as a mother. She had three kids, and she kept saying to her son, hey, you're not listening. And I wanted to say that, have you taught him to listen? You can't just expect him to listen at 3 or 4 years old. He has to be taught and shown how to listen, not in the store, but at home. So how do we teach listening skills to our kids? It has to be some way that we're teaching these expectations to individuals. So when they're becoming adults and they're in relationships, they're learning how to apply this, said skill in the relationship. Because I don't think we've been shown or taught how to listen and to hear one another and not formulate what I'm going to think and what someone else is thinking, what I'm going to say in response to that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's tough. But I think it can be done.
Yeah, definitely. Because we have, relationships out here that have lasted for a long time. Back to something I said a while ago. Remember I said I could be married, but we ain't got to be in the same house?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons. Sometimes I need my space to process what I'm dealing with. And it's not that I don't necessarily want to share what I'm dealing with right now with you. It's that I don't want to hear your stuff while I'm dealing with my stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So if I can go over here and I can be in this house for a day or whatever and, let me deal with me. And then maybe it's a better message when I'm able to process and then communicate my feelings to you. When, a lot of times we come in straight out the world into the home and it's no filter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm getting everything raw.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't want that. That's too much sometimes for some relationships or some people to sustain on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. And I know for me, I've been in relationships and I haven't been in a lot of, committed relationships, but I've been enough to know there were times in which I didn't feel heard. But I also can look back in hindsight and say my tone or how I was expressing myself may not have been appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as men, even as women as well, we have to devise a better way of communicating how we feel and our thoughts in a way that's conducive to being heard And also being understood. There's a difference between somebody hearing you and somebody understanding where you come from. Because the fact of the matter, as you said earlier, we're all human, we all have feelings, we all have thoughts. But how can we, you know, create a way in a relationship in which, hey, I'm going to talk for 5 minutes, you're going to talk for 5 minutes. You know, as a friend of mine told me, it's called a parking lot. I'm going to take notes, you know, while you're talking. Most dumbest thing in the world. But I never heard that before.
It's called a parking lot?
Yes.
How's that related? I don't get it.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But I think that, you know, I won't say it dumb. That's wrong. But what my point is that we have to find ways to communicate effectively. So if you got to take notes, and then do that. But you got to let the person get their stuff out. But see, this is another problem here with my black women, my good sisters. Y'all can talk.
What?
You know, y'all can talk. And sometimes y'all not the best listeners. Just sometimes.
All right, so if I tell you I'm taking notes, I'm going to give you another secret. If I tell you I'm taking notes, I'm texting my friend.
Right. Crazy. This fool crazy.
He's sitting up here talking about this thing and stuff. Girl, I'll be over here in 30 minutes.
I don't care what he said.
I'm going to give him some cool about time. I ain't listening to this fool. That's what I'm telling you. Somebody ever say, I'm taking notes. I'm just playing. I'm lying. Cause I love you. I'm mad because I love you.
And only women can do that. One thing I have learned in my lifetime, women have the best poker face. And what I like about the whole Nikki Giovanni scene, she was throwing straight fastballs. She was not fooling around. Because, you know, James was blinking. He was blinking. Like, I can't believe she just said that. She was throwing fastballs. I mean, she was coming hard. And I was like, dad, she coming hard. And they ain't even together. Can you imagine being in a relationship with a woman who's coming at you? Don't no one come at you like a black woman. She come at you like the Georgetown Hoyer press back in 1987.
Since we've been on this continent, for certain, I don't know about the motherland.
Right.
We have been having to bat away or get hit with the fastballs. Since you've been on this plane,
No doubt.
We are, it's in our DNA.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and we don't want to, we want to be tender.
Right.
And the soft one in relationships and, you know, be able to be all those nice things you see on TV.
Well, I don't even see us on TV.
Yeah, right. You know, we want to be all that you see on other people's shows.
Right.
Want to be able to be the June Cleaver and all of that cute stuff that you can handle everything you want. But we weren't dealt that hand.
Oh, and I will admit, majority of the time, men are the ones who have dealt the hand and cut your hand off before they even give you the cards.
Yeah.
I have to admit that we have played a horrific part and the abuse and mistreatment of our sisters. And I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, having been raised, you know, by a single mother, some things that I saw. And even, I can say, even in some of my previous relationships, I haven't been the best partner. But it was never intentional and malicious or trying to hurt anybody. I just did not know how to communicate effectively at 25 as I do now at 52. I had a conversation with my son a few weeks ago, and I was very impressed with, you know, he had a situation in a relationship, and I said, so are you still seeing the person? He's like, nah, Dad, I just decided I don't want to see her anymore. I said, so how did you tell her? He said, I just sent her a text. I said, why did you call her up? He said, well, Dad, we don't call anymore. That's what y'all do. We just text one another. And he said, I just said, you know, I don't want to see you anymore. So I said, did she ask why? She said, no. She said, okay. And I was like, so how'd you feel about that? He was like, it was cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you will live a long time.
Yeah.
You will live a long time.
That's a great attitude to have.
Yeah, it's a great attitude. Yeah. She said, okay. He's like, I said, so when you see her, do y'all talk? He said, will you speak? I was like, wow.
Yeah. George is like that. You know, our listeners now know George. He's been on twice. But he's a very okay.
But George, what? How is George?
I can't tell. He'll kill me.
Was George like that at 18, 19, and 21?
Yeah, probably.
You know.
He's always been like a, yeah, he probably has. George was married at 18, 19, 20.
No wonder. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm hoping and praying that if nothing else happens as a result of the show, that as Black folk, we improve in our relationship dynamics and how we listen and talk to one another.
Yeah.
I think it's unfortunate when we can't hear one another. More importantly, we really can't speak our truth, the person we say we're in relationship with.
The dialogue is definitely key. You know, we have to keep talking and do better at listening. And I think once we, you know, we might have to go through an ugly phase. You know, like ugly phase, I like the thing, like you get your hair cut short, now you want it long, so in the middle is an ugly phase, right? You're trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Like in between, you're trying to get, grow your locks.
Yeah, you be looking crazy. So we got to go, we may have to go through an ugly phase to where, you know, the some of us have to do, we have to listen to some things that we don't really want to hear.
Yeah,
while the other person is figuring out how to process and come up with the filter to be able to protect this person. So if you can get through that ugly phase and get to the other side of the other side of ugly, you know, that's my second book.
Yeah,
I'm writing these books as I'm talking.
I got you.
But you know, just get through that. Because you know, a lot of times we throw in the towel in these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying every time we do, it's not warranted, because sometimes, it's time to throw in the towel. But, you know, if we could find the fortitude and if we trusted each other enough to know that I'm really doing my best, he's really doing his best for us to come to this. And sometimes this takes therapy. You know, we got to go to a counselor, but we trust each other enough that we know that we're both working on it. I mean, for real, you know, we're going to get to that other side of ugly. And even if the other side of ugly isn't that we stay together in a relationship, this is where you get to have those fruitful relationships and you're no longer in that romantic relationship.
I don't think we have learned how to stick through tough times or the ugly times, and we don't see relationships hang through that. Like I know some friends of mine whose parents were married 50, 60, you know, 70 years, but this is different times. Not saying we still can't do that, but you know, I don't know why that is or why we can't hang it out. But I do know if you make a decision we wanna be with somebody, and through thick and thin, and I hate this, but sometimes it's accurate, for better or for worse, right? Because we don't know how worse is worse, right? But I do think when you make these sincere commitments that, hey, we're going to work through some things and you can really get through it. Like it was a point in that conversation, Nikki was going in and James was trying to get her, you know, I guess to slow up, and he grabbed her hand and he said, baby, 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 you know, and she allowed him to hold her hand and she calmed down. And he says, I understand you. And I thought that was so poignant because she allowed him to not control, but to calm her down.
To hear a man say to a woman, I understand you, is orgasmic.
Say it again. One more again.
Because it's so many times we don't get that.
Is there anything else a man can say? I'm just asking for some friends.
Here's the money.
You know what I'm saying?
I paid all your student loans.
Here we go. She always wanted to get the hand out.
This new car is yours. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks and I ain't going to bother you.
I think I understand you is a lot cheaper. So, hey, brothers, I understand you is a whole lot cheaper than, you know, than money, anything else.
That is orgasm, just to hear that, because what that means is you heard us.
Yeah.
You know, you processed it
so
that you can understand it. That means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I have seen that clip multiple times since you sent it to me last week, and I have been able to utilize some of the verbiage of good brother James in several conversations I've had, and it is a winner-winner chicken dinner. But I do think not only do women need to be heard, but as men, we need to be heard. Unfortunately, some men are not able to articulate their feelings and thought as well as I can, some other men I may know, but it's important that men learn or, you know, develop ways to speak their truth. And I play the game and I try to say one thing, do another thing. There's nothing like being healed. There's nothing like being honest. There's nothing like you know, come into a relationship and a disagreement happens. You're like, oh, I ain't do nothing.
So you have so many, like, sister circles that we get together with our girls and we talk. So we're trained in this. We know how to talk and express ourselves.
Because y'all been talking to the dog babe since y'all was like 2 years old.
Exactly. Right? We've been talking. Right. So, you know, so men need to have those groups. I mean,
We have those groups. And I have several of those groups in which we're able to talk. And not necessarily gossip. We're just talking about, you know, things that happen in my relationship that happen in life. And I've always had those male groups, to be honest with you. Always.
Okay. We all need to practice more.
Yeah.
Invite y'all got bourbon.
Yeah, them.
Y'all got
them.
Bourbon and cigars. I'll come and help
you. You know what I'm saying? Well, only no women there. No. I have a group, you know, that we meet up, and literally there are no women there. It's about about 10 of us. There's no women there. We're talking. We're having a good time. But what happens in going speaking your need or suggestion is that men are able to be vulnerable. And other men are giving men examples or helping them out in some of their situations. And that's the beauty of it. You got to be in a kind of place where you can be vulnerable.
That's true. That's awesome. All right. So it's time for us to take another break. And after the break, we'll be right back.
Yeah. The older you get, man, the more you appreciate. Real best. They don't get offended when you say shit real bad. Hey, yo, we go. Let me know when that drop. Yeah, louder. Talk to me different. Let's come up together. Fuck your ex, nigga. If you fuck me better, let's go to Neiman's. Let's go to Lennox. Spend a whole check and run a play to get the next one. Let's create the vibe. Let's not take our time. Let's spray paint the Trump Towers. Letters, you and I. It's you and I. Till it's suicide. Or till the crap pull us over and no one around. Bang, we woke, shorty. Protest and party. I know you love nostalgia. I got you Barney's. Get it, my bitch with it. Her bitch is with it. A snake is on the slippers. If a snake ever get near me, she tell me I got you. That's all for intuition. She tell me I got you. I trust her intuition. And I promise to God I follow her intuition. So I tell her I got her with pride her intuition.
Can you be someone I can hide my fears with? And if they got us on the run, we could still chase our dreams. Black money. Do I see my black money? My black
Bonnie, talk to me. Talk to you different, but never extra. She like the fact I get aggressive, but I'm not possessive. Bad, but she modest, nasty and honest. Black Bonnie Parker, Black Bonnie Rotten. Cash at the stash, but she never snatch a quarter. Cause loyalty is everything and everything before it. The world never loved me, these girls only lust. But you a woman that got the will to show me the trust. Bang, I'm woke, shorty, I'm growing and maturing. Of course we not bang robbers, they hate us cause we color. Really should lead the city, really would if you with it. Really could never get lost, I follow what you feeling, yeah. She tell me I got you, I got this intuition. And I tell her my body count ain't nobody been it. And I promise to God I follow her intuition. Graduated from Prada, now Bonnie got the wisdom.
Black queen shit. I can hide my fears with. And if they got us on the run, we could still chase our dreams. I just need someone.
Look, shot. I know we not felons, but I definitely see you as my best friend, confidant, and co-defender. And for that, you deserve every word of this real life sentence. Forever my ride or die. Never high. Love, Cloud. Till next time.
And we're back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. You just heard Black Bonnie by Wale. I like that song because, especially if you get a chance, check out the video, the official video.
I like Wale, good dude.
I do too. You know, he meets his Bonnie and the sister, she got his back. You know, she riding with him.
Mm.
That's what.
Ain't nothing
what,
like it.
And as a Bonnie, we looking for a Clyde. Call me Clyde.
No comment. I ain't going to say that.
Call me.
Clyde, you ain't going to be around long, Clyde. You ain't going to be around long.
Call me Clyde.
Make sure you have a, a, a short plan, you know, because her phone number gonna change on you.
I was saying I wanted to be married 50 years. I'm 51. I better hurry up and find.
Yeah, you, and you will. You will. Clyde, come on. Come on, Clyde.
I'm be married come 50 on, Clyde. Years. We need to hurry up.
So what we were talking about the whole fake love thing. And in closing, all I have to say is this. If you find someone that you truly love, I will hope you will not have to lie to them or be fake, and you could be your authentic self, and they can accept you for who you are, and y'all can truly hold one another down. But more importantly, you can hear her truth, you can hear his truth, and no one is offended. And y'all can celebrate.
You can do that. But how you got to get there is to be able to find your filter. You can't bring everything home to him or her, dump on them, because that's too much for that person. So find a way to, you got to find coping mechanisms.
Exercise. Trees.
What are we going to do with your trees? Smoke it?
Hey. Just throw, I'm gonna be able to try to smoke no maple or oak, you know. Legalize it.
I think a few weeks ago it was like Arbor Day or something. And they were giving away trees to plant. I'm like, listen, you want a tree? So I'm kind of looking at it like,
be a tree
what
hugger.
Kind of tree you mean?
It'd be a tree hugger.
Yeah, that tree's still in my car waiting on me to plant it.
It would be legal in Virginia in less than 2 years, I heard.
I'm hoping, what year is this? I'm hoping next year. COVID has been hard.
I don't think this will make the General Assembly next year, though.
You don't think so?
No. I hope so, just from an economic standpoint for the dispensary, so on and so forth.
Well, the governor said he won it. He only has one more year. It's already decriminalized. All you have to do now is make it legal.
If he closed down his gym, he ain't going to make it to the next
year.
You
don't mean? You be saying that if, he don't mean that, listeners. He don't mean nothing.
My bad.
He don't mean nothing.
But if you close this gym down, these health centers down, he ain't gonna be no nothing.
Well, you need to preach to our people and others, especially. The mask may be inconvenient, but just do it.
But you know what? You know,
wear a mask, wash your hands.
Americans have always been rebellious. We've never done what we're supposed to do. I mean, Paul Revere, come on now. I mean, you know, Crispus Atticus, this is just who we are. With that being said, all I'm saying is, if you don't have a mask on, please don't stand behind me. Why did I see a brother with the mask on his forehead? And I said, bro, why's the mask on your forehead?
Exactly.
He's like, my bad, bro. Then he put it on his chin. I'm like, bro.
That's just stupid.
Why the mask on your chin, man?
It ain't a big deal. You know, and you know, folks are like, you know, it's taking away our freedom. Really? This is the thing you choose, you know, that you said take away your freedom. Mask. This is simple. It's a piece of cloth over your face, over your nose and your mouth to protect
and
others.
Even if you don't have it, just keep your social distancing. Like a gentleman didn't have one on, he was up on me. I'm like, dude, can you back up? I mean, like, you don't have a mask on. First of all, you like 2 feet from me. Back mm-hmm. up, dude. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Well, come on now.
Yeah. And, you know, take it seriously. You know,
protect yourself.
We're in
protect
the middle yourself. Of holiday season. And, you know, we want to.
Sea moss. Take sea moss.
Absolutely. Sea moss works. The sorrel works. Yeah, speaking sorrel. Of sorrel.
And Robitussin.
I want to give a shout out.
Take Robitussin.
We ain't giving a damn shout out to Robitussin. I'm giving a shout out to Big P when I talk about the sorrel. He hates it. But you need to take it, Big P.
Yeah.
I'm putting you out there in front of all the people.
Yeah, that's the sea moss.
But thank you so much for what you do, the production of our show. He told me today, I don't want to say the words that he used, but I'm not supposed to bother him for the rest of the day.
Well, he was pleased with my birthday rendition, by the way.
He liked your birthday song.
Hello.
Yeah.
Album coming out next year. Ooh.
2020 has been bad enough. We don't need
that.
We don't need 2020
has been great. It's been a phenomenal year. A lot of things have been accomplished. A lot of things have happened. Next year is going to be even better.
But, all right.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
So I want to, again, thank the Black Talk Radio Network family for inviting us and for allowing us to be a part of the network. Thanks, Scotty Reed. We love what you do, and we wish you nothing but the best. And to our listeners, The Black Talk Radio Network is an independent, Black-owned, solely Black-owned network. Your contributions will help. As you're giving out dollars during this holiday season, visit blacktalkradionetwork.com, and there's a donate button. There's no amount that's too small. They appreciate all of the donations that you can offer. So thank you for that. And thank you again to Three Guys Talking Smack, Listen to Music, the executive producer, the master DJ, Big P, for doing what he does.
The one and only.
Thank God. Doing what he does to produce our show. We appreciate you. So again, we wish nothing but the best for you. Hit us up on our Facebook page, Love Wins with Ellison Benita on Facebook, and hit us up in the email. We want you to be a part of our show. You can join any of these shows. If you want to be a part, all you got to do is hit me up. Hit me up on my personal Facebook page, Benita Johnson. However, and we'll send you the link so you can be a part of the recording. So again, be well. Stay safe. See you next time.
Peace and blessings, family.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at Love Wins with Ellis and Benita at gmail.com.